I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Brian didn't remember just how deep and cool your voice was from our first conversation. I had to remind him this morning.
Yeah, what's up, dog?
It's a little extra deep. It's early morning.
So no joke. I blame our producer waking your ass up this early. You should have told him no, man.
Well, no, and the real pros move, and I'm not saying either one of us did this, but what you do if you have to work early on a Monday is you party all Sunday and then stay up all night and come in, and it's still like it's Sunday. Like it's late on Sunday as opposed to early on Monday, and then you sound wide awake. That's what you do, Barry.
It depends what kind of partying you're doing, I guess. If you're screaming in the club all night, then your voice could be even worse off. I've tried that before. It didn't work for me.
You tried the screaming in the club all night? What were you screaming about? Just singing along with the songs or something?
Nah, man. You just, any communication in the club is a shout. You don't even realize.
That's true. That is true. What? What kind of drink?
Exactly.
That's why you have...
When that Justin Bieber comes on, I'm screaming anyway, so...
You scream in disappointment, right?
Oh, thanks for trying to help me out. But
oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, Justin found Jesus, so I don't know if he'll be screaming the Holy Ghost, all that, if we believe those reports.
Screaming for a witness.
Speaking of screaming, we were screaming laughing about the story that Ben McAdoo, the head coach of the Giants, told about Frazier the Lion. You recall any funny motivational speeches you received during your tenure NFL career?
Oh man, you know one of my was kind of funny in hindsight. One of my favorite ones ever was a Justin Tuck halftime speech that he gave. We were down against the Jacksonville Jaguars at home, a game we were expected to win, and you know, he was screaming at a ton of obscenities. It referenced that they were not only questioning our manhood as football players, but you know they had plans on invading our homes and being with our wives and girlfriends.
What jerks the Jaguars are!
At the time, I think it brought tears to my eyes. I was so fired up, but in hindsight, we sit around and laugh about it because it was pretty funny.
So it worked for you.
It did work. We came back and won that game.
There you go.
We played great. And me personally, I was definitely fired up.
So that's similar to the program, that scene in the program where the linebacker screaming across the line of scrimmage to the other running back or quarterback and said, "You're the one that tried to my sister."
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. One of my favorite movies growing up.
So I guess I'll be the one that transitions to the serious stuff, Barry. I don't know what you thought about Colin Kaepernick going into the weekend, but this weekend we've got Jerry Jones saying that Luke McCown at 36 is a better developmental quarterback than Colin would have been in Dallas, and Steve Bisciotti is polling Raven fans about what they should do with Kaepernick. What's going on in the NFL? Why can't this guy find a job?
You make a good point. It definitely seems like guys are grasping for any reason, any kind of logic as to say why they won't sign him. I guess we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, what kind of demands he's making. I don't know if he wants to be a minimum salary type backup quarterback guy. And obviously a backup quarterback salary is not a little bit higher than the traditional league minimum. But who knows what he's looking for. I just hear a lot of fans kind of crying out about what he did. And although I understand where they're coming from, and I'm certainly a person that respects the flag and respects the military and all those things, it's almost like we're losing sight on why he was doing that. You know, is it a bigger atrocity that young man took a knee during the national anthem, or why he was doing it? Because people were getting killed in the streets, and you know, people didn't feel safe when they got pulled over, so they didn't know what was going to happen. There's really some really serious things going on. I think he was just trying to take a stand to bring some attention to that. I think he's already suffered as a result of that, and I think he's, by coming out saying that he wouldn't do it again, I think he's learned something. So I absolutely believe he deserves a job. I think he can help a team win, especially when you have a pocket passing type quarterback and you bring a guy like that off the bench. I'm just telling you, as a defensive player, especially a defensive lineman, that kind of changes your whole mindset, really catches you off guard. So I think he can absolutely be a weapon off somebody's bench as a mobile quarterback.
Barry Cofield, 10-year NFL veteran, New York Giants, hated Washington Redskins. I say that as a lifelong Dallas Cowboys fan. And Barry, he's definitely been vilified. speak to, if you would, how difficult it is being in a position as a professional athlete. And I get so tired of hearing people saying it's a privilege to play, when they never say it's a privilege to do any other job, only if you're a professional athlete. But you bust your ass to become a professional athlete. It's not handed to you. It's not granted to you. It's not a right. You have to work to earn that roster spot. But how difficult a situation it is for a guy in that position to say, yeah, I want to speak my mind, and it may come off as a distraction, but I also need to maintain my employment. How difficult a decision is that for you?
I think it's incredibly difficult, because I know for a fact that behind closed doors, there were a lot of guys that were supporting him.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of guys that absolutely understood where he was coming from across all sports that really supported him. And I think you did see some support come out. But there's a whole other level to drop that knee in that anthem, and you know, have yourself on SportsCenter as one of the people who was also taking a knee. So I think you can see how difficult it was just by the lack of people that joined him in doing that. You're right. It is kind of funny how people, when athletes want to change teams, it's like a sin. You know, whenever you do anything, it's almost like you're not treated like someone who's going from Coke to Pepsi.
Right.
That's not an issue. Or if someone from Coke, you know, makes a stand or tweets something, it's not, oh, it's your privilege to work at Coke. So I completely get where you're coming from on that end. So it's always a really great balance. It is absolutely a blessing to be a pro athlete, and it's something that you have to work incredibly hard for. So for someone like that to – I believe he's smart enough to know that what he was risking by doing that. So it took an amazing stand. Maybe it wasn't the perfect way to go about it. I think he's, like I said earlier, he suffered as a result of it, and I think it's time for him to get back out there and continue to do good, but just do it in a different way.
Barry, how much did you hate training camp?
Oh, man, it's pretty awful.
It's pretty awful.
Sugarcoat it for you. Now, the rule changes that they made, where you're not doing 2 days and you're not out there banging all the time, that makes it a lot more palatable. Early in my career, it was definitely a little bit rougher, and even going back to college where we were two a day almost every day, it was really, really challenging. So they made rules to make it a little easier. Guys are bigger, faster, stronger than ever, so any day of hitting, you're going to feel it for a couple days. But the fans make it a little bit better, I would say that. You know, having those fans out there watching and cheering, you go out there like you're putting on a show. It's not like it's just a typical practice. And you realize that there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You can see that finish line. So it's something that I'm sure a lot of guys would kill for that opportunity to be in a training camp, to get a chance to showcase their talent. So you always reason it out that way.
And I know you can't ever relax, because that's when somebody behind you can catch you. But is it at least a little less awful when you know your spot's secure and you're not necessarily fighting to stay on the roster?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm a guy who, you know, as a fourth round pick, if you're just really bad, they can get rid of you. But you know, honestly, I didn't really feel like there was a chance that I would probably not make the team early in my first camp. And obviously, I ended up starting, so I wasn't really in that position where I was fighting for that roster bubble, but definitely that bubble spot. But definitely talking to guys, just the range of emotions they go through, the stress they go through. You know, if you roll an ankle as a vet with a starting spot, you realize you can sit out 2 days and get back out there. But for that guy that's down on that depth chart, they'll look to replace you right away. They just need someone to practice that next day.
Bring in the needle.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever it takes.
On that
field. Can't make the club. So,
there it is.
Absolutely. The older you get, the more established you get. And when you're a starter and you're really just working to fine-tune your craft as opposed to feed your family, is a completely different mindset.
Barry, I've been getting ridiculed, as is I'm accustomed to being ridiculed on this show. No respect whatsoever.
Maybe if you had 19 and a half career sacks instead of one,
shut up,
we'd respect you.
My fella. They think those sacks are easy to come by, Barry. I mean, come on.
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
19, and then they in 10 years, and you gotta get 19 and a half in 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, they change the rules. They make it harder and more difficult. And come on.
You think you'd
and I was an eighth round pick. Shut up. I'm proud of my one sack.
You just think you'd stumble into a second one at some point while you're out there. No?
Well,
maybe a quarterback runs out of bounds while you're chasing him.
Well, hold on. What'd you say, Barry?
So that's one more sack than billions of other people.
Thank you. And they never bring up the fact that I'm tied for an NFL record which is a fumble recovery for a touchdown. I'm tied with a whole bunch of people, but I'm still tied for the NFL record.
The longest one?
No!
Just having one.
Returning a fumble for a touchdown. No one's returned more than one in a particular game.
Oh, okay.
Yes. There's tons of us, but I'm in that number. But you guys never seem to bring that up, so to hell with you. Anyway, my point is I'm getting ridiculed because I shared some information about the New York Jets and how optimistic the coaching staff is with this roster. And everyone's like, well, you look at the roster, there's really no sexy names on there. You know, Brandon Marshall, he's now gone. He's with the Giants, and they've gotten rid of this receiver, and they've got offensive linemen retiring who've been there for a long, long time. And so my point is this. Have you been on a team, and you won a Super Bowl, so you were on a team with some great players here and there, but have you been on a team throughout your career where you may not have all the luxurious names on there, but it was a more cohesive unit and a team that worked better together, and you went out and you did some mighty good work?
Probably the best example of that was probably maybe Robert Griffin III, his mm-hmm. rookie year, mm-hmm. kind of caught some people off surprise, off guard. Obviously, he was a big name, but we didn't have a ton of other big names on that team, and we ended up winning the division that year. And if Robert wasn't hurt, we feel like we could have made a little bit of a further run into the playoffs. So I would say that's probably the best example of that, just a collection of guys where you have young guys that are hungry and talented, and you have vets like myself. I was a co-captain, London Fletcher, guys like that can help steer the ship. I think that's probably the best example. In New York, we had a lot of talent.
Yeah.
We had a lot of talent, big names, and we were successful. So I'm not here to ridicule you like everybody else, but that Jets roster, wow. other than that defensive front that I really like a lot, it's really
– what?
I'm really going to have to step it up. Let me just say that.
All right, well, I'm not saying I was optimistic. I was just reporting what I heard. I report, you decide, okay? That's all I was doing. But now it's like everyone hitched me to the wagon of the Jets, and that's not what I was trying to do, okay?
You know, I honestly do believe that those coaches believe that.
Right.
I've actually been on teams that – my first year in Washington where we weren't very good. Coach Shanahan was really building the roster. Like I said, in year two, we were able to win the division. But when you're in camp, you really feel like you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's almost like everybody's drinking the same Kool-Aid. If you have any decent coaching, you really do believe that you can be successful. You're practicing against each other every day, and everyone's still an NFL player, so the practices are still intense.
Right.
And you really do feel, even in preseason, you're not getting the best shot from the other teams. You really do feel like you have a puncher's chance, but that reality can set in really fast in the regular season when you start playing these other teams and seeing what's going on.
Yeah.
You can get shocked back into reality really fast. But I honestly do believe that the Jets coaches that they probably are getting great work, not a bunch of big names, so guys are out there really working hard and playing fast and trying to prove themselves. And I believe that they believe what they're saying.
I guess along those lines, when you read that Blake Bortles is throwing picks and Mitchell Trubisky can't take a snap in Chicago, how much does that scare the defense? Like, oh, man, that guy might actually have to play for us at some point during the season.
When it's the quarterback, it can be scary. I will say that. I will say that. I was spoiled in New York with Eli bringing his lunch pail every single day. So when I got to Washington, I think we played three or four quarterbacks that year before Robert came in. You could really – at times, it was scary to see some of the balls that were going up in the air. So, especially when it's a young guy and like a Trubisky, you have hope that he can get better, he can figure it out. Because, as a rookie, that jump to your second year can be a huge jump. So it could be a rough year, but I think that those guys understand that he's got a ways to go, but they see his talent. And you hear the same thing going on in Jacksonville with Bortles, a guy who you expect to kind of be really ready to peak as opposed to really struggling and turning the ball over. That's a little bit more concerning, especially for a team with a defense like theirs that added the pieces that they did, who I think is going to be a really, really good defense. They got the running game, trying to shore it up with Fournette and some additions on the offensive line, and bringing in my old coach, Tom Coughlin. I think that was one of the more underrated acquisitions of the offseason, them adding him to their to their front office. I expect them to be very much improved, and I feel like Bortles has the weapons. So I really want to see him take that next step, and they can contend for that division.
Go back to bed, man.
Yeah, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Come back again soon, okay?
Thank you guys for having me. You guys take care.
It's all our right, pleasure. Man. There's Barry Cofield, 10-year NFL vet, developing friend of the show. There's also a developing situation outside the show. Full details on that, plus a Brad Heller update next on Geo and Jones.
Give us a call right now, 855-212-4CBS.
Really important.
Okay.
So we didn't get to our trade deadline questions for Barry Cofield because we were instructed to go to break immediately because they were doing a sound check in the meth lab outside our studio.
Yeah.
They were I don't know what they were doing, shooting a rifle, small explosives, but there were some loud thuds.
Hear it in here?
You could hear it, and that was the point of the test, was they wanted to stand in here and see if they could hear it. Now, you could hear it as a dull thud through our door, but not to the extent it's going to be on the air. What was louder, shockingly, was you yelling, yeah! Give me that!
Y'all heard that?
A little bit.
He liked the lasers. There were lasers.
There were lasers.
It was a laser show.
You can hear me through the door?
Lasers. Yes.
No way.
Yes.
Maybe a little.
You guys lie.
No, pretty clear. I couldn't hear you, Brian.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You liar.
Pete, your thoughts?
I heard more Brian than a saw.
Yeah. So
okay.
Congrats.
I'm sorry.
Your big booming voice is louder than machinery.
I was trying to muffle that noise.
You did a good job.
It was pretty loud out there.
But we had the heavy hitters were in this room.
I know.
Eric Spitz, Mark Chernoff, and head female engineer. I don't know her name.
Mindy.
Stephanie. Oh, Mindy. Oh, I'm sorry.
Stephanie.
It's Mindy? Okay. Yeah, everybody was in here. I was like,
everybody
damn, what's
was.
Going down? What's happening? Yeah, okay.
And you know who they forgot about?
Who?
Shockingly, or not at all, the white Rosa Parks. Because he walked in and said, oh, I wonder if that was heard on 880. And they went, oh yeah, 880. Didn't think of that.
Oh.
880 didn't get a sound check, but we did. Take that, 880. Here's Brad Heller, the white Rosa Parks. Why? You'll find out if you go to geoandjones.com/audio. Right now, though, it's an update. Here's Brad.
All right, guys. Thank you. What's better than a walk-off grand slam? How about two walk-off grand slams in the span of 4 days?
The 2-0 pitch. Fly ball deep left field. Has he done it again? Back goes Revere to the wall. There goes another walk-off grand slam. Oh, my. Goodness.
That would be Steve Pierce hitting that one again. Jerry Howarth called it. Blue Jays Radio Network. The Jays outscore the Angels 11-10. It was one of five walk-offs yesterday. Kyle Farmer doubled. He doubled in two runs in his first major league at bat. It won the game for the Dodgers in the 11th, 3-2 over the Giants. LA has won eight in a row.
Did you hear that? That came through. Everybody all right?
Should we need to wear hard hats in here?
Brian,
something?
Say something.
I'm frightened.
Okay, good. Back to you, Brad. Okay.
White Sox Matt Davidson, a two-run homer to snap the Indians' nine-game winning streak, 3-1 the final. Andrew McCutchen had three home runs. Pirates beat the Padres 7-1. Meanwhile, Adrian Beltre becoming the 31st major leaguer and the first Dominican-born player to reach 3,000 career hits, making him a virtual lock for the Hall of Fame on Hall of Fame induction day. Now, it took 10 years, but Tim Raines, he finally lands in Cooperstown.
I want to thank the sports writers. You know, I've been asked that question for the past 10 years. What is the reason why you hadn't got in? Thank God I don't have to answer that question anymore.
And joining Reigns in the class of 2017, Pudge Rodriguez, Jeff Bagwell, Bud Selig, and John Scherholz. 4 o'clock today, the baseball trade deadline. The Cubs will reportedly get reliever Justin Wilson and catcher Alex Avila from the Tigers. The Rangers sending Jonathan Lucroy to the Rockies. The Royals landed Melky Cabrera from the White Sox. The Twins shipping pitcher Jaime Garcia to the Yankees. From the NFL, Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti acknowledged at a fan event that the team is considering signing free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick.
We're very sensitive to it, and we're monitoring it, and we're still, as Ozzie says, scrimmaging it, and we're trying to figure out what's the right tact, and so pray for us.
And meanwhile, Patriots linebacker
stop the presses.
Okay,
I forgot to mention this before. Pray for us as we figure out if we should sign a person who deserves to be signed. In theory, please pray for us.
I wasn't sure of the context
of
that
crucible
one.
Crucible of the Ravens,
but pray for them, fans. Pray for them.
Wow.
One other note, Patriots linebacker Rob Ninkovich announced his retirement after 11 seasons. Pray for him as well. Or not.
Yeah.
It's fine.
He's a Patriot. God loves him enough. 855-212-4CBS. Oh, they must be getting a delivery outside.
Can they deliver some eggs and bacon?
Yeah, what'd you want before? Oh, something for the soul food.
Oh, I'll take anything right now.
From Marshawn Lynch's restaurant.
Yeah, what's that restaurant called?
It's not open yet.
Oh.
It's called Yabana.
No, he took over another place that was open. Oh, he took over a place that was about to close its doors. It's doors.
That's why it closed. It's doors. I don't want to go in there.
You know what I want that I haven't had in a long time? Donut. I haven't had a donut in a while.
There is a remarkable donut place within walking distance of here. We could drive there, you and I, after the show. Just point it out there.
What's walking distance?
10 minutes.
That is not walking distance.
It is 10 minutes. Yeah. Oh, then we could drive there.
There's no parking.
I'll sit in the car while you go inside and pick out the donuts for us.
Donuts.
You can't walk anyway, Bogish.
No, I need to walk. And I'll walk for donuts. Listen, yesterday I went on a long walk to and from the beach from the car yesterday. I thought that was going to loosen things up. I went for a swim. Nothing.
Really? The swim didn't help?
No, nothing.
Swim should help.
I know. I think there's something wrong with me.
No,
you just haven't
done that before, and your body is reacting to being dormant for so long. Yeah, lack
what
of
are you
usage.
Doing?
Yeah, you've shocked your body, man. And that's what you're supposed to do. Even if you work out a lot, you have to shock your body by doing something different, altering your training.
This is stupid. I'm just going to be unhealthy until there's a pill that makes me healthy.
What?
Yeah.
That's not coming along.
Yeah, I'm just going to...
There's no pill that will make you healthy.
At some point...
Don't take the easy way out, man. Take the pain!
But the easy way out doesn't involve pain. It involves eating chicken parmesan.
What?
Yeah.
That's why you take the pain so you can eat the chicken parm. I don't work out because I want to look good. I work out because I like to eat.
No, you work out because I want to look good.
No, I work out because I eat a lot.
You couldn't have the Sunday fun days you have if you didn't look as good as you do.
Sure you can.
It'd cost you more money.
You see some of the...
You get discounts.
Pieces of... You get discounts.
Oh, he's not gross. Charge him the regular rate. Right? Am I wrong?
Okay, you win.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I'm not going to name names like you would, but there are people that showed up at those clubs that there's a surcharge.
Yeah.
But you are not unattractive to most women, especially Eastern Europeans, so you get the VIP treatment. Whew. They buy you dinner at these places as opposed to you having to buy them dinner.
Yeah, that's true.
It's because you're handsome.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Thank you.
855-212-4CBS. So speaking of wasting money, somebody spent $165,000 on an Aaron Judge jersey.
It's interesting. I played in this Ronald McDonald golf tournament last Monday at Baltusrol, and there was a silent auction, of course, and there was an Aaron Judge signed photo, nice frame and all that, and I think the opening bid was $500 or something like that. But I thought for a moment, maybe I should bid on this deal. But I thought better of it. Like, this is way too soon for Aaron Judge. And while he's done great stuff this season, and he's slid a little bit here recently after the All-Star break, but while he's done some good stuff, it's way too soon to be spending that type of cash on an autographed picture and also the enormous amount that was just plopped down for this jersey. That was it, the jersey he hit a home run in it?
No,
it's a jersey. Hit a grand slam, right?
I thought it was the jersey from his major league debut.
Look, I saw one where he hit a grand slam.
Mike, your thoughts?
And I really? I mean, yes, if he continues to rise and continues to hit home runs in the manner in which he's been doing and the guy can do this over the long haul, that price is warranted. But right now, as much as I like him, I can't come to terms with plopping down that amount of money.
So you have a specific argument. I have a general one. I just can't fathom spending that much money on something like that. That's just hanging
on my
wall.
Well, you have an immense amount of discretionary cash. You got to spend it on something, right?
Well, so yeah, but I mean, I could
that's a charity. That was an auction, probably at a charity event, and so you can you benefit from the fact that you gave back and you made that type of expenditure, but. As much as I like Aaron Judge currently, you know, he hasn't done it over the long haul. So that's why I couldn't come to terms with buying or bidding on the autograph, nicely framed photo that I saw at Baltusrol last Monday. And this amount of money, wow, that's amazing. You know, now if the guy turns into the next Babe Ruth, you got a bargain on your hand. How much is that jersey worth now?
Yeah, I guess there could be an investment of all. But see, like, I want, speaking of discretionary income, I thought I had enough. I would love in my basement to have a couple of seats from the old Shea Stadium as, like, collector's items. But the cheapest one, I can always, like, they're hundreds of dollars.
How much is the cheapest one?
I mean, the first one I can see right now is $409 on eBay. Like, I theoretically, I have that money, but I can't bring myself to spend it because right. I could spend it on better things. And that would be my same argument if I was a millionaire. Sure, I've got 165,000K laying around, but maybe I want a boat or I want a super duper basement.
Well, get the boat too.
It doesn't work like that in my head.
Oh, okay. All right then. We're
going to get the boat. $800
For a seat.
For those, a pair of seats.
From Shea Stadium.
From Shea Stadium.
I didn't know Shea Stadium had that much, let's see, significance?
Yeah, look, old Dodger Stadium, $600.
Well, I get that.
Detroit
for one seat.
Tiger Stadium.
Old Dodger Stadium?
Bush Stadium, $600 for two seats.
Wow.
What a little market. Mm. Oh, this one's only $540 for two mezzanine from Shea. Okay, those ones I can do.
A mezzanine.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I guess we can continue on this trend when we come back. If you've got money to spend, there are definitely better ways to spend it than going to see this thing, which we'll discuss when we come back on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
This is MLB legend Pudge Rodriguez, and you're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Find it, man.
Today's Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, comes from Jeremy Paukin?
Paukin?
I don't know. There's a question mark.
Spell it.
P-A-U-K-E-N?
P-A-U-K-E-N. Paukin.
Paukin?
Paukin.
Paukin?
Paukin. Paukin?
It's very, very succinct. Mayweather or McGregor, who you got?
Oh, God. That's Jeremy.
You're right. Did he stump you?
Yeah. Hey, Jeremy. get him, Mayweather. Get him, Connor. Is that what Tyranny said?
Oh, it is.
Go get him, Connor.
Yeah. Good luck with that. The correct answer is Mayweather.
Yes.
And it leads us to me saying this. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/AskThePros or tweeting it at us at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Summer's heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. Get your battery tested for free. If that battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Jeremy's question also leads us to the fact that there are tickets and hotel rooms in Vegas still available with Mayweather McGregor. Is it 4 weeks away now? 3 weeks away? It's four from this past Saturday.
Right?
Good for you.
Good
for
who?
You for not spending money on this sham. And in fact, if you are in any way debating spending money on this, don't. And send it to a domestic violence charity. Or buy me a seat from old Shea Stadium. Or buy Brian a bacon, egg, and cheese or a donut.
Both. So there are lots of rooms available.
Yes.
Still tickets available.
Yes.
May go to Vegas. Good time to go. You may
discount.
Get them on the cheap. Yes. Damn good time to go.
Is anybody from here going? Any of our shows going to be out there? Do we know
Pharrell probably is going, right? He goes to most of them.
Yeah, I know Scotty's a good friend of the Showtime boxing people. I know that.
Not sure of anyone yet, though.
I mean, that's going to be, you know, Super Bowl Radio Row can be tedious. I mean, that's going to be there on the Friday. You're going to have a lot of people strolling through Vegas. That would be fun on a microphone. But I cannot bring myself to care about this fight. Even long before I get to my personal issues with Floyd Mayweather, this can't possibly be good. I mean, it can't.
I probably would go for the spectacle if someone invited me. Yeah,
yes, if somebody invited me, I would go. So feel free to invite me or Brian.
Steven Espinoza. I would probably go. Have I felt the urge to plop down some money to go to Vegas that particular weekend? And I'm telling you, you go to these big fights in Vegas, it's a show. It's fun. I've gone to numerous ones, and you can have a damn good time. And a lot of stuff we can't discuss on the show, but it's a damn good time, okay?
It's like a Sunday at the Wiggle time.
Yeah, 24/7.
Yeah.
And it never closes until you run out of money, unfortunately. So, but no, I don't, there's not this will or this attraction to the bout and expending my own coin to go out there for it. But if someone wants to invite me, I'll tag along. Come on, let's do it.
And if you only have one spot, I would invite Brian before me. He's much more fun.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. I've never been to Vegas, though.
Never done Las Vegas.
Never, ever, ever.
Wow. I gotta go to Vegas at least once. It's changed so much.
I agree.
What do you mean you agree?
I should have been there already.
Yeah, you got to go check it out, man.
Shame on me.
Nothing like Vegas.
I bet that 13-year-old girl from the gym class has been out there playing craps.
Oh, God. Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
In case you missed the 7 o'clock hour, Bogus had a high-intensity workout he took part in Saturday, and there was a young lady that was way more, qualified.
Almost a third of my age.
Yeah, qualified to partaking in the workout, and she did much better than you, but that was your first one.
She was asking for more from Juan while I was
you were
hoping
tapping
for
out.
Juan to have a heart attack. Like, oh, class is canceled. Too bad. Sorry, Juan's family.
Is this over with yet?
Leave me alone, Juan.
Now, are you like me where you start questioning, damn, I could actually die up in here? I mean, that's how hard it was.
I wasn't thinking about dying, but I was legitimately thinking about throwing up. And then Juan said, you get a shirt if you throw up. I was like, oh, I could use a free
shirt. No, he did not. No. What does the shirt say? You suck?
It's from the gym, I think. I think he was being funny.
So that's his goal. His goal is to make you puke.
Yeah, he was trying to hurt people.
Oh, wow.
I know.
What if that's Francis' goal? I just think she's crazy. I don't think that's her goal. She's just crazy. The woman's out of mind. I was actually thinking about this. I wish I could get you guys to take this class for me. Now, you have, having taken that class Saturday, you probably would make it through it because you've experienced it.
Yeah.
I wish I could get Mikey B, PB, and Gio to take the class.
Well, but Mike's a professional, so really it'd be up to me, Pete, and Greg to survive it. I've only done one. That doesn't make me an expert.
Right. Well, but at least you know what to... You know what to expect.
I try it.
I actually had this thought, too, when I was...
Would die. I mean, I'm dying. PB would die. And I'm not giving you mouth-to-mouth. We're going to have to find somebody to give mouth-to-mouth.
Just let you go.
Yeah. PB's not knowing you.
Get your affairs in order before this class.
Exactly.
Say goodbye to Bridget just in case.
Yeah, this class actually has you thinking about life insurance.
Is there a waiver before you go in?
Yeah, you probably have to sign a waiver.
Because the gym I belong to is a national chain, so we could have done a thing, a little advertising, done the class, taped it, videoed it as well.
Yeah.
Made a little show bit out of it as we all slowly died. Only Juan left standing. Juan and Brian, best friends, going to brunch with me and Greg.
Bring a t-shirt to the wake.
Dragging Pete's lifeless body out of the gym. So J.R. Smith and Tracy McGrady decided to have a fight this weekend on social media because McGrady, I guess, at some point said, as he gets set to go into the Hall of Fame, how anybody can win a title, but not everybody can make the Hall of Fame, that you got to get in the Hall of Fame. And that J.R. Smith took that as a direct comment to J.R. Smith, I guess, and went on Twitter and started responding to McGrady
right.
and his faulty logic. and saying that it's not just, you know, you got to be on good teams and anybody can get JR said anybody can get in the Hall of Fame, you can build a court.
He said you can build a park.
You build a park to get in the Hall of Fame. I haven't confirmed that as a guideline just yet. In Springfield.
Well, I won't get in then. But, yeah, it was interesting. He said that it's not the NBA Hall of Fame is not like baseball. And I guess I would tend to agree with that. And while it's a great honor for those who have been inducted into it, and it's not easy, you have to have been a hell of a player, but there's not as much fanfare around that as there is for Major League Baseball, even the NFL Hall of Fame. It's
yeah.
a huge... A lot of people that show up. I've played in the Hall of Fame game a couple of times, although we didn't like it. I mean, you had an extra preseason ball game. But seeing that and going and visiting the Hall of Fame, you know, it's pretty cool. And maybe it's the NBA's fault. Maybe they don't promote it as much as the other leagues. There's not a game surrounding the induction of the guys.
It also used to be they've made a lot of renovations to it. It used to not be worth the trip to Springfield, Massachusetts.
Thank you.
It's much better now than it used to be.
Okay.
The only thing that made sense in J.R. Smith's series of were they tweets or Instagram posts?
Tweets.
The only thing that made sense was that he said, you know, I don't want a guy on my team playing for the Hall of Fame. Like, it can't be about your personal accolades, and that's fine, but that's not what Tracy McGrady was saying in his comments.
Right.
He was actually probably just rationalizing the fact that he only made the playoffs or made the second round once, and he didn't do it until he was falling apart late in his career and had help. He just didn't have the postseason success. It happens.
Well, and he said, you know, you have to have a great team, you're surrounded by great players, you have to have some luck involved, and he did say, well, I didn't have the great team.
Yeah.
Okay.
You saw those Raptors teams, right? And J.R. Smith, I mean, he's had the benefit of being on LeBron's team a bunch, and so it just, would you feel different if you had a title but no Hall of Fame, or a Hall of Fame and no title? Have you thought about it?
I'm telling you, every player thinks about winning the title. That's the ultimate goal. It's great. You're in the Hall of Fame, and not everyone's going to get in there. It's a small fraternity. But the title, that's an even smaller fraternity. That's
right.
What you want.
But if you played 12 years and never won a title, do you think part of that pain would go away as you got your cool mustard-colored jacket in Canton?
No. You still think about it. That's what you want. It's so coveted, man. And especially if you've won championships of some sort at every other level, and then you get to the ultimate level and you're not able to get that ring. So
you're on Team J.R. Smith in this conversation then? You're on J.R. Smith.
Well, I'm with him as far as just getting the ring. That's the ultimate goal, and that supersedes everything. And so, yeah, I'm with him there. But that's a great individual honor for Tracy McGrady. But it's about the team game, and you can go out and get a championship, and now you and those guys who – those other 14 guys and that coaching staff and the training staff and administration, the organization, I mean, you have that on your resume for the rest of your life. That's incredible. I mean, the Hall of Fame is wonderful, but that's individual. You want to – when you've been involved in team sports, that means so much more.
Mentioned this in passing earlier in the show, but Steven Adams, Oklahoma City Thunder big, who's not a good free throw shooter, maybe because he does this when he's practicing, he actually has a member of the Thunder staff randomly punch him in the stomach when he's at the line shooting free throws. I don't fully understand the point of this, but maybe he's distracted by the thought of a guy sucker punching him, and that's why he's a 57% free throw shooter.
Huh. Good for him.
Yeah.
Maybe he should get his buddy, was it Andre Roberson? Did we ever get
Roberson? Roberson?
Roberson, Roberson. We never got.
Anthony.
It's Andre, isn't it? The
Andre,
guy who couldn't shoot free throws, who just got $10 million a year for averaging 4 points a game. Hey, man, get your money. You didn't force him to give it to you, but maybe he should try that. Because he couldn't, because they were hacking him like crazy.
Well, I get the idea of shooting free throws like you do it tired or whatever to try and simulate the game, but getting punched in the stomach randomly simulates nothing because you're never going to shoot a free throw without your air like that.
Well, it works for him.
It doesn't work. He shoots 57% from the line.
Well, just think what he would be without the punches.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So it's working.
Maybe he needs more punches?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe someone should hit him with a bat or something.
Maybe you should walk in and wear a white tent here and see what happens. They got lasers in there.
Yeah, that was cool. The little laser stuff.
This is not going to go well.
Why not?
Well, I just... Because construction never goes well.
What do you mean it never goes well?
And now you're going to do it in the middle of a place that needs, at times, quiet. And you're going to have guys ripping things up and talking and
breaking. It's only going to be a week.
Right, but the email said this would cause no disruption, and it caused a disruption before they even technically started working for today on day one. And they've got intruders just barging in. What's in this tent?
Why have to be an
How'd
intruder?
How'd you get in
man?
Here?
I was checking out the scene. Mm-hmm.
Good Samaritan.
Thank you. Making sure the dude was all right. He was just sitting in there by his lonesome. He needed some company.
God, he is incorrigible. I don't like when he's kissing up to you like this.
Not kissing up. I'm being honest.
It's weird.
What did he say? I told him.
You said you're a good Samaritan for going in there. No one was in danger. No one was getting hurt.
You don't know that.
You don't know that.
I could have been suffocated.
That's not why you didn't know anybody was in there.
Well, I was checking.
You were going to look around.
Anyway.
Yeah. Both of us
I was going to borrow some sheetrock.
Yeah, some copper wire.
Where are my donuts?
I put it out there. I'll even pay for them if you want to drive.
What?
Yeah.
You would pay for them?
If me and you can drive together like buddies in your car to this donut place.
You should give Chris Christie some.
I'll buy you a donut. And we can talk about life. Workouts. Not getting embarrassed by teenage girls.
Man, get over that. Workout. Get back out there. Get back in that gym.
Everybody's back tomorrow. Gio in the main seat. Thanks to Barry Cofield, for Mike, for Pete, for Brian. I'm Andrew. See you tomorrow on Gio and Jones.